the CBS World News Roundup. Martial law restrictions in Poland may be lifted by the end of next month, so says the country's military leader. Dan Raviv has details at our London listening post.
General Wojciech Jaruzelski said that some martial law restrictions should be lifted by the end of February. Warsaw Radio did not specify which restrictions. Poland's leader was speaking to the Sejm, the country's parliament, meeting for the first time since the military crackdown 6 weeks ago. Jaruzelski said martial law had been necessary because of what he called catastrophic violations of law and order. Poland, he said, had been on the brink of the abyss, but now discipline had improved. As quoted by Warsaw Radio, the general said, martial law has become a bridge which makes possible a transition to stabilization. Jaruzelski said martial law in industry would have to continue beyond the end of next month. Many of Poland's vital factories have been run by the army since December 13th. General Jaruzelski said more than 1,700 people have been released from internment, but that 4,500 others are still being held without any charges filed against them. With very little debate, the parliament is expected to approve laws which, in effect, legalize the martial law decrees. Dan Raviv, CBS News, London.
Secretary of State Haig has arrived in Geneva, ready to discuss Poland with his Soviet opposite number, and we'll get that story from Bob Simon.
Alexander Haig walked off a plane in Geneva last night, ambled up to some microphones, and opened the first round of his match with Andrei Gromyko.
It is a sad commentary that these discussions will take place at a time and against the backdrop of increasing repression in Poland.
Also on Haig's litany of complaints, recent Soviet shipments of MiG-23 fighter planes to Cuba, Soviet behavior in Afghanistan, Southern Africa, and Soviet proxy use of biological warfare in Southeast Asia. There will be few smiling pictures taken at tomorrow's meeting, but it's not purely an occasion for mutual accusations. The negotiations in Geneva on the control of European nuclear weapons have been proceeding without propaganda or polemics. U.S. negotiator Nitze is almost ready to present a draft treaty. This may be delayed because of Poland, and the opening of strategic arms reduction talks with Moscow will almost certainly be postponed as well. But these matters will be discussed. Even if the administration insists there can be no business as usual with the Soviet Union right now, there is very important business to transact. Bob Simon, CBS News, Geneva.
Foreign Minister Gromyko arrived in Geneva this morning from Moscow and said that in his meeting with Haig tomorrow, he has no intention of discussing questions relating to Poland or that country's domestic situation. Early contract talks resume tomorrow between the United Auto Workers and General Motors, a bit less than a week after they were broken off. The union has given the company 3 days to come to terms on a new contract, and it says this is General Motors' final chance. Discussions with Ford will resume Friday and continue through the weekend. Both companies are hoping for labor concessions as a means of getting out of the auto industry's continuing slump. The union wants a one-year agreement to replace the contracts expiring September 14th. Those contracts are for 3 years. As far as General Motors is concerned, the main issue is the company's practice of subcontracting work to cheaper foreign sources. That's a practice known as outsourcing. GM maintains that high labor costs force it to subcontract in this manner, but the union says it has meant the loss of many jobs. A related issue, job security. The union wants to see workers guarantee their jobs after a certain number of years. Many automakers in Japan give their workers lifetime job security. The second session of the 97th Congress opens today in Washington, faced with more problems than the members would like to contemplate. As we hear from Phil Jones, it's not a session that many Republicans are eager to commence.
Republican unity on Capitol Hill seems to be a condition of the past. The Reaganomics program hasn't solved the economic problems. Unemployment is on an upward course, so is the nation's deficit. And interest rates are devastating. Republicans are split over whether the president should now raise taxes. Moderate and conservative Republicans are already feuding over such things as whether tax exemptions should go to schools with segregation policies, over whether to extend crucial and controversial sections of the Voting Rights Act, over whether to end forced busing, over whether to outlaw abortions, and over the issue of reinstituting voluntary prayers in schools. Democrats, on the other hand, are promising unified alternatives this year, that they will no longer sit back hoping that Ronald Reagan's policies will fail and that this will be enough to bring them back to power. But as difficult as all the economic issues will be, senators will find one issue even worse, whether to expel Senator Harrison Williams for his conduct in the Abscam controversy. And all of this activity will become secondary later to most of the House members and one-third of the senators. Their main job this year will be to get reelected in November. Phil Jones, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
But for the large majority of Americans, economic issues remain uppermost. Example, the National Association of Home Builders Convention in Las Vegas. David Dow reports that many, if not most, of the convention delegates say they can't remember worse times in their industry.
They will leave here this afternoon only with the prediction from a variety of sources that there is no quick fix for their problems, for the high interest rates and sluggish economy that made last year their worst since World War II. From Samuel Pierce, President Reagan's Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, they heard only that they face complicated problems with no miracle cures, that eventually the Reagan economic program will solve them. My best guess is another couple of years of difficult times. The words of Charles Schultz, economic advisor to Mr. Reagan's predecessor. Through it all, the home builders expressed impatience with the Reagan program, finally passing a resolution urging emergency federal aid in buying down interest rates to affordable levels. Today, they will get one thing they want, a face-to-face meeting with Federal Reserve Board Chairman Paul Volcker, the man whose tight money policies many builders blame for at least part of their problem. David Dow, CBS News, Las Vegas.
Chief Justice Warren Burger is concerned about another problem. In his view, the nation's courts are being swamped with cases that could better be handled elsewhere. Addressing the American Bar Association convention yesterday in Chicago, Berger said we need to consider moving some cases from the courts to administrative processes, like workmen's compensation, or to mediation, conciliation, and particularly to arbitration. The San Francisco 49ers rose to glory late yesterday in Pontiac, Michigan, defeating the Cincinnati Bengals 26-21 in Super Bowl 16. Quarterback Joe Montana led the 49ers to victory.
We were mixing in the run and the pass, and we were outguessing them. We were controlling the ball. We were getting the ball and forcing them to play the type of ball we wanted them to do.
Montana was chosen the game's most valuable player. Almost as soon as the contest ended, jubilation erupted in the streets of San Francisco, as we hear from Barry Peterson.
San Francisco was a city gone slightly mad. Thousands took to the streets in a celebration fanned by victory and fueled by liquor. In several neighborhoods, streets were blocked, bonfires set, traffic came to a standstill. In the city's North Beach district, it finally got to be too much. Police and riot gear moved in to clear the streets. Dozens were injured, dozens more arrested. But the majority of the crowd got the message and finally, around midnight, headed home to sleep it off. But the celebration is far from over. This afternoon, the team will arrive for a parade down Market Street. There will be speeches at City Hall with bands playing and more crowds cheering. And without doubt, the chant that has echoed down this city streets over and over again, we're number one. Barry Peterson, CBS News, San Francisco.
Queen has not seen his one-time fellow captives since their release, and he is active, eager to be reunited. A significant ruling was handed down today in Atlanta in the murder trial of Wayne Williams. Sam Ford reports.
Judge Clarence Cooper this morning ruled in favor of the prosecution, meaning evidence from 10 more murders can be introduced in the trial. This is a major blow to the defense, which argued that the introduction of such evidence would unfairly prejudice the jury against Williams. But the prosecution contends that the same combination of dog hairs and microscopic fibers, which link Williams to the two murders for which he's on trial, link him to the others as well. Further, the prosecution claims that blood samples link Williams to two of the victims, and witnesses had seen him with three others. Defense Attorney Alvin Binder had urged the judge to exclude the new evidence, saying none of the prosecution's witnesses claimed they actually saw Williams commit a crime. And this morning, after the judge ruled, Binder moved for a mistrial, but was overruled by Judge Cooper. Binder has predicted that if Williams is found guilty by this jury, a higher court will declare a mistrial. Sam Ford, CBS News, Atlanta.
Federal investigators in Washington today provided more information about the fatal crash of the Air Florida jet that crashed into the Potomac River January 13th, killing 78 people. The flight data recorder shows that the plane's takeoff from National Airport lasted 47 seconds instead of the normal 30 to 32 seconds. The plane never reached an altitude of more than 337 feet, and the last recorded altitude was 125 feet. At that point, the recorder stopped functioning. Gold prices faltered again today overseas. The price was fixed in London this morning at $373.50 an ounce. That was down about $2 from Friday. The dollar today gained against all the major foreign currencies.
CBS News, a local emergency at a nuclear power plant in New York State. I'm Richard C. Hotelet reporting on the CBS Radio Network. In Ontario, New York, near Rochester, a problem has developed at the Jinnah Nuclear Power Plant. Joe Kopek is a spokesman for the Nuclear Regulatory Commission in Washington.
The reactor is shut down. That at 9:45, there was a reactor trip that the plant shut down, and there were indications of a steam generator tube rupture. At first, it was an unusual event, and then it went to an alert.
Apparently, the gradation has been raised. Wire services report that at 10:50 a.m., a site emergency was declared there. Radiation has been released into the air, and officials therefore declared this higher degree of site emergency. A steam tube ruptured in a primary cooling system, officials say, releasing radioactive steam into the atmosphere. The National Weather Service says the radiation was released for a little more than an hour and a half at mid-morning. The plant is located 18 miles northwest of Rochester, and a spokesman for Rochester Gas and Electric, the plant's operator, says there is no danger to the public. More news after this.
For years, your TV's been telling you what to watch. Now, you can tell your TV with the RCA Video Disc Player, the machine that plays video discs of great entertainment on your TV. Raging Bull, Rocky, Kramer vs. Kramer, Casablanca, comedy, concerts, you name it, you see it when you want to see it. An RCA Video Disc starting at just $15. Hey, it's your TV. Why not watch what you want to watch?
Buy the player now and get $50 or three video discs direct from RCA. Offer good only at participating RCA dealers through this February 9th.
I'm George Herman, CBS News. This Tuesday evening, I'll anchor CBS News coverage of President Reagan's State of the Union message, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Bill Lynch joins me for a summary and analysis. Immediately following the president, we'll bring you the State of the Nation, a Democratic view, with Susan Spencer analyzing. This double coverage starts at 9 p.m. Eastern Time Tuesday on many of these CBS Radio Network stations. Hear it here.
The 97th Congress is back from its holiday recess, and contact with their constituents has reportedly turned the members' minds to economic problems. More from Susan Spencer.
The main new item on the House's agenda is the 1983 budget, but still before the House are tidbits left over, or rather put off, from last year, chiefly appropriations for several government departments, which technically will run out of money April 1st with the expiration of stopgap funding bills passed in a panic last December. So 82's worries will be hanging around while Congress decides how to cope with budget deficits for 1983, projected at over $100 billion. House Republicans worry that if Mr. Reagan calls for any new taxes, House Democrats will seize that vehicle to try to repeal the third year of the tax cut already in place. In short, there will be lots of fighting over numbers again here. In other business, the House expects that the massive bill amending portions of the Clean Air Act will be ready sometime after Easter, and hearings will begin next month on Mr. Reagan's request for legislation banning tax exemptions for segregated schools. As for the other social issues, abortion, school prayer, and busing, the Democrats who control the House are perfectly willing to let the Republicans in the Senate initiate all that. Susan Spencer, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
President Reagan is at the White House putting the finishing touches on the State of the Union address, which he will deliver to the Congress tomorrow night. General Wojciech Jaruzelski, Prime Minister of Poland and head of the military commission which rules the country, appeared before the Polish parliament today to get retroactive sanction for the martial law imposed 6 weeks ago. He declared that martial law might be lifted by the end of next month, but that many of its elements, especially in industry, would remain in force for a longer period. Jaruzelski also declared that Poland would not return to the conditions which prevailed before martial law was imposed. Secretary of State Haig and Soviet Foreign Minister Andrei Gromyko are in Geneva for talks tomorrow. Gromyko told reporters he has no intention whatever of discussing questions relating to Poland or the domestic situation in Poland. Stocks and other news after this.
Hello, this is Cliff Robertson. I'd like to say a few words about those very special people who save millions of lives every year, yet they never receive any medals. In fact, you never hear their names. These quiet heroes are volunteer blood donors who supply the more than 30,000 pints of blood used every day. More donors are needed if we hope to keep up with the demand. Only 5% of those eligible donate blood. The procedure is safe and simple, and the entire process takes less than an hour. There is no substitute for human blood. An emergency can happen at any time when you or someone you love requires blood in a hurry. It can mean the difference between life and death. Won't you give blood today and join the ranks of the quiet heroes?
A public service of this station and the American Association of Blood Banks.
Wall Street has been moving down since the opening bell. At this hour, the Dow Jones average is down 8.84. Volume on the big board, 20,400,000 shares. The Dow Jones industrial average stands now at 836.19. Richard C. Hotellet, CBS News.